This is University Radio Nottingham.
Hello and welcome back to the Over the Trent podcast. It's been a contrasting start for the fortunes of this city's club. Notts County are on the top of the Vanarama Conference, winning 5-0. Yes, you heard that right, 5-0 away at Barnet. And Forest have lost four games on the bounce in the Championship, leaving them at the bottom. Today, I'm joined by Chatting Like Champion, Sensation, and Forest season card holder, Kieran Etheridge. How are you?
Sensation, that's a big word, never been described like that before. But yeah, I'm doing well, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very low on hope for this season with Forest. So bad. Obviously, you're Brighton. You're going to be the voice of neutrality this year, aren't you? Because you're not really associated with County or Forest, and you're a big Brighton fan, but Brighton have been getting up to an absolute magic start, haven't they?
Yeah, three wins in three. Not really had a big test like that yet, though. Got Everton this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we can make it 4-4, though. Yeah, let's start with County. Dream start for the Pies. 5-0 away at a 10-man Barnet. Obviously, fantastic away following, which appeared to be out in numbers to the home fans. Dom, what do you think about the fans being in the stadiums again?
It was the best thing about the weekend, because if we're honest, the conference is a very sparsely supported league. Like, there are great followings in some clubs, and obviously some clubs are a lot more, let's say, tin pot, shall we, in a nice way. But what the Magpies brought to Barnet was nearly a full stand away end. And they just look like they're having the best time. And that is something football has really lacked. Like, the football stand, we're quite used to watching Premier League football, Champions League football, even Euro standard football this summer. But the football wasn't great. It was great for the league it was in. And I'll go on to talk about how good County were. But it was just so good to watch just fans enjoying themselves. And Notts County, a club that has been through the absolute mire of luck for the past few years. Just how many ever a thousand fans it was, just loved life that day. And I thought it was a real symbol of intent from County. Scoring five on an opening day, I mean, it's just what dreams are made of when fans are allowed back in the stadium. It's just, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be a County fan that day. They really tore Barnet apart. I thought 10 men, it was a red card, I thought, on the foul. And from there, they just ripped. The passing play was so good and the pitch wasn't great. The pitch didn't look like you could play a lot of passing football on it. But they just looked so professional, so calm under pressure. I suppose when you get three goals in, it's very hard to be not calm, but they just look so in control, so confident. And I know you can't use your, they've got a lot more restrictions in the conference than they do in the EFL, but it didn't look like they were playing with a restricted squad. They looked really calm and really under pressure. Did you get a chance to watch the highlights, mate?
Yeah, I did watch the highlights. They looked really, really good, actually. Obviously, a complete different standard to football to what I'm used to. But they looked impressive. I think fans being back, obviously, it's been great to see it all over the country. And they play such a big part in teams not only starting their season, but pushing them on later on in the season as well. And it kind of adds that atmosphere that the games have missed over the past year. And the sport no longer feels like a hollow game where each game is just a game as such. It's added meaning to the games again. And every game feels like such a massive occasion now. Every game feels like a cup final at the moment. Yeah. It's great. And I think we're never going to take that for granted again. But yeah, County looking really, really impressive at the moment. And the complete opposite to Forest, to be honest. It's the worst start Forest have had since last year. Four league defeats, a miserable evening against Wolves that only made a bad situation worse. And Chris Hughton is on the hot seat once again. Dom, I think I already know what they are, but what are you? Tell the people what your thoughts are on the red start to this season.
It has been absolutely miserable. Not only are the results bad, the performances are boring. The way Hughton sets up with the four at the back and the two in front, usually Yates and Colback, it is interminably dull to watch. And I love Forest. I love watching Forest, but it's incredibly hard to watch them at the moment because we've had zero shots on target against Stoke. I think we only had two shots against Wolves. Yes, we lost 2-1 three times in a row before that, but we just look so, so unimaginative. And this is the problem Forest had last year. There was only seven games under Hughton's reign where we scored goals. So what was the stat? So we only had two games where we scored three, five where we scored two goals, and that was it for the whole season. Really boring football. And now we've got fans back in the stadium. Like you said, every game's a cup final, and it's just been brought down and down. It's so miserable because the Forest fans have got a great away following. I think we had the biggest away following this year so far in the EFL and the biggest home crowd so far in the EFL. And they want to react to goals. And when Forest scored against Coventry, there was absolute limbs in the away end. And it was great to see. And then obviously we bottled that game in the last minute, which was an absolute delight to watch. I think I used a lot of four-letter words on the URN group chat to describe, describe that joyous moment. But since then, Forest have looked really unimaginative. Losing to a 10-man Bournemouth, that was bleak. Losing to Blackburn, that, again, lack of creativity. But the problem with the Stoke game especially is that there was no shots on target. And I think the Stoke game, have you seen the Stoke's goal?
Yeah, you can't take it away from them. It was a brilliant goal.
It's, and what's so frustrating is Stoke, this team who are renowned for playing long ball football, rubbish football, and we've got a lovely history of playing great football on the ground and all that from the Clough era, and they've just been swapped. We're not playing nice football. We could barely hold on to the ball for more than 10 seconds. And Stoke just ripped us apart. And good luck to Stoke this year, because I think they're going to be a real contender to go up. They played lovely football. And it was just so bleak to look at that away end of great following again. But then Stoke, like I said, ripped us apart. And it's just the lack of depth in the playing squad is quite worrying. The lack of transfer window action's been very worrying. And on a lighter note, the away kit and third kit are just disgusting. Have you seen this? Yeah, they are just vile. And you know what? If you are a Forest fan, or even if you're a County fan, please get in touch to say what you think about the pink and the yellow. And is it orange? Is it red? I don't know, but get in touch with us, because I think they're the worst Forest kits since the 80s in my memory. But yeah, it's just a horrible start to the season. But Kieran, what has been your thoughts on, just as neutral, how have you seen Forest play in the past few days, or past few weeks, sorry?
Past few weeks. Well, I mean, as you said, with that goal against Coventry, it looked like the season was going to be starting off quite well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just that first goal was quite a good, well-taken goal by Forest. Mm. And then it all just went downhill and hasn't really had an upturn since. I mean, we're kind of come on to Houghton a bit more in a minute, but he's trying to play a system that perhaps doesn't suit the players, but suits him. And obviously, it's normal for a coach to want to play their way. However, they have to have some adaptability to make it work with the squad they have. And I'm not seeing that from Houghton right now. That being said, I still believe that he's a good championship level manager when he has his squad, which he doesn't have at Forest at the moment. And that's very, very obvious. I mean, looking at how he did with us, he had years with us to build the squad he wanted to get us into a position where we were challenging for the championship title on over a course of a few seasons. And that's when he really started shining through as a good defence. He's always been a defensive manager, and you're not ever going to see very exciting football with him. Like that is the problem. He's quite a dull, boring manager that just grinds out results. He's like a slightly worse Mourinho.
Yeah, he's the championship Mourinho.
Championship Mourinho. Yeah. But kind of looking for the very few positives in the games that you've had, you've only lost by one goal each time, which it's not like you're getting blown out of the water. you're in the game somewhat.
Yeah, okay. I can see what you're trying to say. There have been some, Zinchenko and Brennan Johnson have been bright sparks,
yes,
attacking-wise. But I think the big frustration is we're not getting blown out of the water, like you said. We're not being outclassed on the pitch, but we're still losing. And like you said, he's a defensive manager, and yet we're still conceding. We've conceded nearly 10 goals in the past five games, which simply isn't good enough, really.
No, you look very open through the middle. And also, whenever the ball goes near the defence, you look very, very panicked. Everyone's all over the place, doesn't really stick to their shape. No idea what's really happening there, but that's kind of down to both the positioning of the players and also the coach's kind of instructions of what to do when they're in a defensive shape. And it, obviously the blame is put on both sets, the players and the manager there. And that is something that really needs to be sorted out if you are to start turning these results around, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, obviously Joe Worrell is out injured and we're not really sure how much longer for. Figueiredo is someone who I've criticised a lot in the past 2 years. Someone who I think has been instrumental in Forest conceding quite a lot of goals. He just looks panicked most of the time. He's had his good games for Forest, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans who will reply to us saying, oh, this game. But if you look at a lot of Forest goals last year, and even the year before, in that great season with Sabri, he'll just lose his man, or he'll look panicked, he'll give away a foul. I think he gave away something like 3 penalties in the season with Sabri. And those 3 penalties cost us because, you know, we lost out on the playoffs because of one goal difference. I just don't think he's mature enough as a centre-back to play championship football. And we've got 2 centre defensive midfielders in front of him. And obviously that limits, as England fans will know, before the Euros, URN talked a lot about, is Southgate the right guy? Because he's too boring. And what's so frustrating is even the extra protection that limits our attacking ability means we're playing dull football isn't working. And no, it's just so frustrating.
You mentioned the 2 CDMs in front of a back 4 were very unadventurous substitutions as well. And seemingly there not being any real plan B, another game plan to go to when things are going badly. So what are your thoughts on Houghton as a manager then?
Well, as a manager, I'm not convinced by him yet. And obviously he's got a great success rate, but at Forest, he's had more than a year. And I think in the last 22 games, Forest have won 4 games with him. It's a really miserable record. And during a pandemic and just coming out of a pandemic, you want your fans to be really positive about a club. And it's not like we're strapped for cash. We're financially very well supported by the owners and the Mr. Marinakes. And the fan support has been great. And it does feel like Houghton is stuck in his ways of playing, you know, 4-2-3-1. And it's just not working. And when players have, you know, when we played Wolves, he took Graben off and put on another striker. Now, personally, I think you should have taken off one of the centre defensive midfielders and put another striker on, because we're 2-0 down at that point. And it does feel, when Forest are playing Coventry, instead of just trying to, you know, it was 1-1 and he takes Taylor off for Cafu. Now, Cafu is not the Cafu, you know, for legends are written about. It's a very different Cafu who's quite boring, quite lumbering, shall we say. He's not going to be creating much chances for us. And it does feel like he's happy to settle for a draw. But even when we're playing against Stoke, we're bringing on more defensive midfielders. And it's just so unimaginative. I really, really worry where he can go from here. Because he's had plenty of time. He's had 2 transfer windows. And it's not like, you know, we're strapped for cash. Like I said, we bought Glenn Murray for over £1 million. And what did he do? 2 goals for us. Absolutely amazing. But it's simply not good enough. His strategy of purchasing, okay, I understand with COVID situation, there's a delayed period of buying and all that. So he hasn't quite had his full transfer window yet. But it does feel like he hasn't got it quite right this summer. And last year, didn't feel like he got in January. He didn't quite get that transfer window right. But to be fair, he brought in Krivinovic, who was an absolute godsend, and Garner's come back as well. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like he is the man to take on Forest at the moment. It just feels like this job is one too many for him. How do the Houghton I get to, you know, experience on a daily basis compared to the Houghton Brighton fans got to experience?
I mean, as I said, he's always been quite a dull manager. That's not really, it sounds like I'm disrespecting him, but I'm not. It's just his style of play isn't the most exciting, adventurous play style, which if you're grinding out results that way, isn't a bad thing. But when things start to turn around, it's just another thing for fans to kind of have a go at the manager for. You were talking about him having like 2-ish transfer windows. He took over Brighton in January, it was like January 2014, I think it was. And we only really got to the point where we were challenging by about 2016, 2017. So he had 3 years. So obviously he had, I think that would be like five transfer windows or something like that to get his team together. So I think he does need a little bit more time to get his team together as such. Obviously you said you're not strapped for cash. He's getting the backing he needs. And there has been like, obviously you signed Garner on a loan as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's obviously a good piece of business in my opinion. Yeah. He was good for you on loan last season. And I think that that's a positive sign, but he did get us into the Premier League. He kept us in the Premier League. So he's proven that he knows how to do it. It's just, he's got to, I think, try and figure out how to do it with a different team now, because this Forest team is very different to the Brighton team that he took over, in the fact that there aren't as many players that could play in the Premier League, in my opinion, in this team.
Oh,
and I think you would agree with me there. Like, we had the likes of Lewis Dunk, Shane Duffy, Solly March in that team. They're all Premier League quality players now. You look at this Forest side, obviously you know a lot more about it than me. Do you see any Premier League quality players in this team?
Well, let's just go through the last team. So let's look at Forest versus Stoke lineup. Okay, let's just go through it. The lineups are, so we've got Samba, Brice Samba. Okay, yeah, he could easily play for someone like Crystal Palace and go and goal. Back, definitely not. Figueiredo, definitely not. Scott McKenna, yes, I could see him doing a job for someone like Norwich or, you know, Southampton, a very good international as well for Scotland. Gaetan Bong, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. Yates, no. I love Yates as a player. Well, not even as a player, as a person. He's a proper Nottinghamshire lad and he's done so well, you know, going through the academy. But I personally don't think he is good enough. I think he's very clumsy, really could work on his heading. I think there's a clip I saw of the 8 to the little 6-yard box. He misses about 8 last year of balls headed in. And they all go over the bar, and that cost Forest about 8 goals last year. Ribeiro Diaz, not convinced. Zinchenko, he's on loan from Watford. So that suggests if he's not good enough for Watford in the Premier League, he's not going to be good enough in any Premier League team. João Carvalho, yes and no. He's one of those sorts of players who you look at and you're given a moment of brilliance. I think the best way, he's like a Championship King Cladsey from Man City, like back in the day. There's just moments where you go, wow, this lad is special. And then there's other moments where you're like, he's not even trying. And not in a good way. It's just, he's not trying. And it's Carvalho, 13 million. It doesn't look good. I don't think we've spent our money wisely there. I'd say he could easily be a Premier League player. Alex Mighton, someone who's really worked hard in the past year, because when he came in under Sabri, I thought he was just raw pace. There wasn't any sort of depth to his skill. But now he's really worked on his finishing, his creation play. I think he could be a Premier League player in the next 2 years. Lyle Taylor, certainly not. Lyle Taylor is not a Premier League striker. So I know there's been quite a lot of injuries to that team, but there's only one or two that I'd back to be a comfortable Premier League player, whereas yours were all very firm and confirmed players who could go up into the Premier League. And I'm sure there were plenty more that you just can't remember because it was quite a long time ago, and stay there. Forest don't look like a deep enough squad. We've gone from about 40 players last year to 24 in the squad. And what we saw against Wolves, well, it just shows the young lads aren't quite into it. Like, there was only 3 players above the age of 22. And they looked okay. Let's face it, they're playing a Premier League team. They really put out a good squad, the Wolves. But I just think they were just very, very poor. Not poor. It's so hard to describe because they're obviously playing a much tougher opposition than they used to. But they just looked out of their depth. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah. Best way to describe it.
I mean, I suppose my final verdict on Houghton, and before we move on to the next kind of thing that we're talking about, is that he has the potential to get this Forest team into a position where they're challenging. But it's whether he's given enough time. And I wouldn't blame Forest board for sacking him after the next couple of games if they go badly, to be honest, because ultimately this is a points business. You need to be getting points, otherwise you're going to get sacked. And getting 0 points, it's just unacceptable at this point in the season, to be honest, especially with some of the teams that you've come up against. You should have come away with at least a singular point. And
If I'm really honest, Coventry should have won that, or at least drawn it. Bournemouth against 10 men at home, first game back since March 2020. You really need to be winning that, but carry on.
Obviously, he's won the Premier League Manager of the Month. That's like a very big accolade.
I love that.
But he needs to adapt his style to work for this Forest team rather than adapt this Forest team to work for his style.
I think you've made a really good point there. I think that's a really succinct way of describing Chris Hughton. Saturday is the make or break day for him. Let's face it, it's Forest derby. We don't need to explain the magnitude of this fixture. It's a day, if I'm honest, I hate the day. I also love the day because it's a day where you get loads of brilliant homemade clips of Forest derby compilations and Robbie Savage and waving fans, then him getting slide tackled by Chris Gunter. And it's just, you know, the videos really hype you up. But I am not looking forward to this Saturday. Derby team who've had possibly the worst off-season I can remember them ever having. Bar maybe Bury or Oldham, it's been horrific and possibly the worst in the EFL history, bar those two teams. But it seems to be working. They're not world beaters. They're Derby County. But they're getting players like Ravel Morrison, someone who famously has not been able to work. Wayne Rooney is able to get something out of him and he scores some great goals. And that potential Ravel Morrison has always had, and no one's been quite able to mine it, is just starting to come out. And I know Ravel, let's face it, has a very bad, very, very bad reputation. I'm not sure. I read a great book, 50 Years of Hurt by Henry Winter, and he tells a story that Ravel, during the England Under 21 World Cup, went to a foreign country, I think it was in Eastern Europe, and refused to eat any of the local food, so just had Mars bars and Lucozades. So that's that shows how he's definitely matured as a player, going from that quite bad professionalism to now where he seems to be working for Wayne Rooney. Sibley as well has been really good from what I've seen of Derby. And it is quite worrying. Forest don't have a great record at Pride Park. When was the last time we won there? Probably the Ben Osborne goal. One alls and some bad 5-0s that we don't need to talk about, Kieran, since then. But it's just, it's a very difficult game and Hughton's going to have to pull something out here. But out of interest, Kieran, I'm very much in a Nottingham Forest bubble. Outside of Nottingham and Derby, how is this Derby viewed? Is it a big calendar event for people like you who probably didn't watch a lot of Championship football, or is it just another derby for fans?
I mean, I think it has been, especially in the past, it's been bigger. And that is because both teams were obviously at a higher standard at that point, both obviously being in the first division. And back then it was huge. But now I think it's still a very important game. Every derby is important to football fans. And I think if you're a true football fan, you're always going to respect the fact that derbies are big games to each set of fans. I think that it's definitely going to be a big game for both teams. Could definitely be make or break for Forest here. I think if they win this, it's going to obviously reinvigorate the squad, possibly give them the confidence to kind of kick on, get a few more results, hopefully, after this game. But if they lose, I think, honestly, this could be a tipping point in the season where the rest of the season is probably going to be just as dire as the start of it. But in terms of the derby itself, I think it's still a huge occasion. As I said, any football fan respects the derby. And I think that it's going to be a really special day, to be honest, because obviously the first one since fans have been back. And it's going to be intense.
It's going to be intense. I think that's the right word. Even though the Derby support hasn't been great, shall we say, I'm not throwing any shade, but a lot of empty plastic seats at Pride Park I've seemed to be noticing. I think this game will be... I think you made a very positive point there, Kieran, that this could be the change. And I think a lot of Forest fans are head down, this is going awful, in a sort of way an England cricket fan, once a wicket falls, go, well, there's going to be a collapse here. I think your positivity of going, well, if they do win here or get a point, it could be the change. And I think that's something, as a neutral, you can offer that, you know, despite history is in the past, and you can break away from that. And we'll talk about score predictions a bit later, but that's a really good point that he's still got a chance to save his reputation. He can still save his time at Forest by winning at Derby. And let's not forget, our squad is pretty even to theirs, and you never know. Forest fans have already sold out their allocation. We're always travelling good voice, and they might even reward the away fans for once in this really big game.
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of already touched on it a little bit, but if Forest lose this game, surely Houston's gone at that point. It's such a big game that, like, and both the teams are possibly on a similar level here on paper.
Mm.
And I think that if Forest do lose this game, Houston's surely going to lose the support of the fans and possibly the support of the board at that point. But if he goes, who would you want to see replace him at this point?
Well, obviously, Pep Guardiola has turned it down. that was disappointing. But I that's another problem. I think Forest, when they have sacked managers in this current board, have always had someone ready. I remember Martin O'Neill being sacked, and within 5 minutes, it was going to be Sabri Lamouchi. And when Karanka got sacked, well, fired, very awkward situation, they seemed to have Martin O'Neill's number very quickly. And same with Houghton and Sabri. They've always been very quick. They don't like having Gary Brazil as an assistant manager for a few games, despite his great record. I don't know who I want. I was thinking last night, Harry Redknapp, but I realised that was me post-jab and I wasn't in the greatest headspace. So maybe that was Bill Gates trying to support the Harry Redknapp society. I don't know. But I know people suggest Eddie Howe. I don't believe Eddie Howe works outside of Bournemouth, personally. I think he's so emotionally invested to that club, he can't detach himself from that. And whilst I think he did amazingly for Bournemouth, and I applaud him all the way in getting a team that can only have 10,000 in its ground to the Premier League is something that dreams are made of and any League Two or even Notts County can dream of. I don't see him working at the City Ground. I think there's too much history. And that statue of Brian Clough in the city centre is almost like a sort of watcher of Forest. And it can be a heavy burden on any new Forest manager. And I just don't see Eddie Howe having the mental resilience to, you know, go from a home League Two club where he first brought it from to the Premier League and then go to a massive club, a much bigger club, if not being rude to Bournemouth, but we are. And I just don't see him working like that. I don't know who else is free and who else is acceptable and who else would take the job at this point. That's another question. I have heard rumours that Nigel Clough, who is managing Mansfield at the moment, might get hired, former Derby manager. But I can't see anyone wanting to join this pretty ramshackle club at the moment. Kieran, do you have any names you'd throw into the mix?
I'm not really too up to date on Championship managers like that, to be honest. It's a bit of a... I don't really know. Obviously, as you said, like, a lot of history at that club, and that is obviously off-putting for some managers. They don't want to come into a club where the expectations are so high at some point. The position you're in at the moment as well is obviously going to make it even harder to hire, as you've said. But yeah, I'm not too brushed up on like Championship level managers at the moment, to be honest.
What's Lampard doing at the moment?
Okay, big Franken.
I couldn't imagine having Frank Lampard as our manager.
You need Sam Allardyce.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if we went down that route. It really wouldn't. I'm glad Neil Warnock's taken because I cannot stand him as a manager. I love his bum bag. Have you seen that? Him handing out signs with pretty lucky Neil Warnock. Yeah, let's say Neil Warnock is out of the question, thank God. But yeah, it's not a happy time on the red side of the river. Obviously for County, we're sorry, we've very much shoehorned your very happy start to the season. But if we're honest, Forest, there's so much to divulge. We've had four more games than our little brothers, older brothers, whatever you want to call yourselves. It's been a lot happier for you, so you can't really moan at us for that. That's all we have time for. Kieran, that is your first Over the Trent debut. How do you think it went? Do you think it's gone better than Houghton's start?
I think it's gone well. Enjoyed it a lot, mate. And I'm looking forward to doing more, especially when we're actually at the games, feeling that pain live.
Yeah, and we'll be very honest with you. We've got season tickets in the West Brickford Upper, and we're very much looking forward to looking down at the away fans cheering a fourth goal again and again. Thank you so much for listening. We've been Over the Trent. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Over the Trent Pod. Let's hope this weekend is happy for Forest fans and even happier for Notts County fans who play Torquay at home. Stay safe and let's go. And let's hopefully get a win at Derby. Let's just hope, Kieran. Let's just hope.
Let's hope.